Hey. Good evening.
Good evening.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right. So, it's 2015. And you know what? As some of you know, I'm sure you know, due to social media, my husband kind of put me out there. My birthday was yesterday. So. And it's so weird, you know, 2015, I was born in 1963. And so, take it easy. We got a lot of wolves in there. So. But I was born in 1963, and, you know, it's just amazing to be living in this day and this time. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that. And also, you know, it's just awesome to be born the first month of the year. You know, at the beginning of the year, because you get to make your resolutions, you get to make your, you recommit, you reconnect, you reminisce. You reminisce about everything that has happened the past year. And I've been doing a lot of that. But, you know, when you're thinking about things, you know, that can be pretty scary. You know, living in 2015, it can be pretty scary. It's a frightening time right now. In history, with all the things that are happening around us. And every time I look at the news, I just cringe. You know, there's so much that's going on. It's just unbelievable to see the things that people can do to other people, that people can have, can be so heartless and do stuff to other people. And you know, even the natural disasters, the stuff that we see, but that's why I love it when we can all get together. I love being with the body. I love it when we're all together and, you know, especially with the women. You know, we don't get to do this often. And I know a lot of you have expressed just wanting to see women up front more, see the women talk more and stuff like that. And so, you know, this is good that we get to do this. Amen. And I always feel so safe when I'm with the body. I always feel so taken care of. And, you know, there's a lot of love in this room, you know, a lot of great relationships. And I'm going to tell you, if there's no love other than what I feel for all of you, then this room is still full of love. So I love all of you deeply. And I'm so glad to be here tonight. So, you know, thank you for that. You know, this this year our theme is the kingdom of God. You know, I love that. You know, I think that's a great theme. And I think it's a great theme because God lives in all of us. And we have the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to be fearless. He wants us to be fearless women for him. And that doesn't mean that, you know, stuff isn't going to happen. Because, you know, obviously stuff is happening around us all the time. And it would be really easy to give way to fear because of what we see happening around us. So stuff will happen, but we do have the power to overcome those fears through the Holy Spirit, through all that God gives us through his word, through our relationships with one another. We have power to overcome our fears. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel like we kind of shrink back. So tonight, I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about, you know, not giving way to fear. So that's the title of our lesson for tonight is do not give way to fear. Okay. I'm going to say a little silent prayer really quick, and I want y'all to pray silently as I pray. Pray for me, okay? All right. Amen. You know, I mentioned, you know, there's a lot of scary stuff happening in the world today and, you know, stuff that's happening outside the church. But, you know, sometimes there's some scary stuff happening inside the church, right? Yeah. We got some scary stuff happening inside the church. You know, in the last 6 months or so, you know, we've lost three sisters. Three that are no longer with us. And, you know, that can be pretty scary. And it hurts. And, you know, please pray for Karen and her family. Continue to pray for her and Linda's family. And continue to pray for Myrna's family as well. But, you know, and that's scary, you know, especially, you know, I just had a birthday, you know, and you start thinking about your mortality as you get older. You start thinking about it because, you know, when you're young, you feel like you're going to, you know, sometimes you feel like you're going to live forever. But it can be very scary as you get older and little things start changing inside and outside and, you know, so, you know, it can be really, it can be challenging just to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. You know, every week it seems like our prayer list, you know, someone we love or someone close to us or someone that we know that has loved ones has some life-threatening thing that's happening. I mean, it's just very frightening sometimes. And frightened because we want our loved ones to become disciples prior to God calling them from this life. Yeah. You know, that can be scary because you're thinking, you know, when is she going to get it? When is she going to become a disciple? When is he going to get it? When will he become a Christian? You know, and so that can be frightening for us. I mean, for me anyway, I don't, you know about everybody else, but I feel like sometimes I kind of live in that. And so this lesson was basically one of my quiet times that I'm sharing with y'all tonight. Okay. We question, you know, everything. I mean, stuff just scares us. And for some of us, we're feeling frightened right now because we see people leaving. We see people leaving, and we're wondering, you know, where they're going. Should I leave too? And I almost did my lesson out of the book of Exodus, but I was like, no, I don't want to give them no idea. So, you know. So, yeah, we're not doing Exodus tonight. Okay, so anyway. But we always hear about the fearless men of the Bible. We always hear about fearless stuff. But there are some amazingly brave women in the Bible, you know. And, and I'm just, you know, excited about it because I've been hanging out in the Old Testament for all of 2014, you know, just staying there. And so this is one of the stories that that just really struck me that I love. And I want to share it with you. So could you please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 25, 1. Okay. And I'm going to do a lot of reading, and if you could just read along with me. 1 Samuel 25, 1. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down to the desert of Maon. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing at Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was intelligent and an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men, and said to him, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Long life to you, Nabal." This is what he wanted him to say. Say to him, "Long life to you, Nabal. Good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now, I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them the whole time that they were in Carmel. Nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they'll tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my young men. Since we come at a festive time, please give your servant and your son David whatever you can find for them." When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal the message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and my meat and that I slaughtered for my shearers, and give it to men coming from who knows where? David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. They reported every word. Let's stop right there for a second. You know, what I got from this, the lesson I got from this is that, you know, what we communicate is so important. What we communicate is so important. When we're telling someone something, you have to say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. You don't need to add it. You don't need to take away. You know, you don't need to leave stuff out. If you're confessing sin, if you're confessing and you're trying to get something out, don't give half the story. Don't tell a little bit of it. Say what you need to say. You know, get it all out. If you're feeling something toward a brother or a sister, if you're discipling someone, you know, don't sugarcoat it. Equip yourself with the scriptures and speak the truth in love. Amen. You know, Sarah Alloway used to say to me, Chloe, you cannot be afraid to speak what is truth. Yes. You know, and that stuck with me. That stuck with me, and I'm telling you, it serves me well. It serves me well. Sometimes it's, you know, things are hard to hear, but oftentimes things are very hard to say. It's very hard to say certain things. And so when I say things, you know, I want to speak what is truth. And I'm telling you, sisters, we have to stick to the scriptures. You know, bring people back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. We can't allow our emotions and what's popular to sway us. Watch your doctrine. Watch your doctrine. Watch your doctrine. I can't stress that enough. The Bible says what it says. You know? And so we have to make sure that we're communicating exactly what is said. And David's men turned around and went back to David, and they told him what Nabal said. And he got mad. Let's look at 1 Samuel 25:13. David said to his men, put on your swords. So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up to David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. And stop right there. I love David. He was awesome. He had no fear. And we know that from when he ran to Goliath. You know, he ran toward him when he fought him. And he was just just ruddy and handsome. You know, so he was small in stature, but he ran to him. You know, kind of got a thing for the short. No. But anyway, you know, he was fearless, and I love that about him. And he could have just sent them. He didn't have to go. Let's say it was 400 of them. But you know, he wasn't a conflict avoider. He wasn't a conflict avoider. And there were times, you know, when we need to talk about things and confront people and just let someone know how we feel. You know, the things about feelings is feeling can be right, feelings can be wrong. Feelings are always real. You feel what you feel. And if you need to talk about it, you need to be able to talk about it. But instead, sometimes we just kind of shrink back. But David strapped on his sword, and he told his men to strap on their swords. You know, the Bible is our sword. You know, and so when we go and we're having these talks, and we have to say things to people that are hard, we have to say things to people that, you know, really don't want to say, we need to strap on our sword. Again, you know, back to the scriptures. Back to the Bible, you know, because, you know, often we are tempted, instead of talk about stuff with people, we talk about the people, and we'll go and talk about them to someone else. instead of talking to them. And that's not what the scripture says. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible instructs us to do. And sisters, we have to have the hard talks. And we have to equip ourselves with the scriptures. Or should I say, strap on our swords. Equip yourself. Make sure that you're ready to say what you need to say. I don't have like points. I'm just kind of going through with you what I've learned. Okay, so I hope that's okay. Okay. So let's look at 1 Samuel 25:14. And it says, one of the servants told Nabal's wife Abigail, David sent messengers from the Zebzah to give our master his David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greeting, but he hurled insults at him. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us all the time we were herding our sheep near them. Okay, so obviously right here, David's men, they felt protected. And they know that nothing was going to be taken from them. They felt safe. They felt protected. They could have easily taken one or two or 10 sheep. You know, David had 400 men. He could have gone in there and raided that place. His guys were hungry. That's why he was asking Nabal for food. He wanted something to eat. But they said nothing went missing. The integrity. But these guys felt protected. He practiced self-control and was mindful that his men did the same. And I think about us, the people that in leadership roles in the church and the people that lead here, if you are someone as a leader to your people, do they feel protected or do they feel neglected? Are you worthy of imitation? David's men didn't do wrong either. He didn't do wrong. They didn't do wrong. They're imitating him, Do you think of yourself as a woman of righteousness? Do the people around you think of you as a woman of righteousness? And this is the kicker. I said leaders. But, all of us have to lead by example. Right. Nobody gets a pass, guys. We all have to lead in some capacity, whether, in school, at work, at home. You have to be a leader. And so the servant continues talking to Abigail. Look at 1 Samuel 25:17. And he says to her, now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man, no one can talk to him. Yeah. The servant knew that about him, but he also knew he could go to Abigail. He knew the master, he knew Nabal, but he also knew Abigail. And God gives us instinct and intuition. You've heard of women's intuition. It's real. we have to practice that, and we have to hone in on it, and we have to use our intuition. We can feel things sometimes before they happen. So you have to know, like they say, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, like Kenny Rogers. But he gives us instinct, and we need to be able to read people and read situations. When we find ourselves in situations that we shouldn't be in, you're listening to something you shouldn't listen to, or whatever, he knew that he could go to Abigail, and this servant felt totally comfortable approaching someone and saying this about her husband. You just kept it real, he could have used a little more tact or something, but he spoke the truth. And she was approachable. Abigail was approachable. He was able to approach her and to talk to her, and You know, I said, say what you need to say. But if you're someone that's not approachable, you know, that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to talk to somebody that's not unapproachable. And, you know, eventually you may try one or two times to go to them and talk to them and say stuff to them. But what if Abigail had not listened? What if she had just said, I don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about my husband. You know, she could have had a whole different attitude about it. But the servant knew he could go and talk to Abigail. Abigail had a reputation of being approachable. And this is the kingdom of God. And we have to be approachable. If we want to learn, if we want to grow, if we want to change, if we want to do better, we have to be approachable. We cannot give way to the fear of pride, to the fear of arrogance, to the fear of anger, entitlement, or any other stuff that keeps us from feeling that, you know, people can't come to us. Or to keep people from feeling that they can't come to us. 1 Samuel 25:18. And this is, I love Abigail. It says, Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 shears of roasted grain, and 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on the donkeys. She lost no time. I was here, I was reading this, and I was like, I'll eat all that. I eat not all the whole thing, but there's nothing on there that they talked about that I wouldn't eat. So, she lost no time. No time. She was a woman of action. She was a woman of action. And we have to be women of action. We have to make use of what's on hand. There was a festival going on. This was a time of feasting. This was a time of, you know, she didn't try to reinvent the wheel. She used whatever resources she had. She pulled it together. She sent the stuff before her. She simply used the provisions she had. And, you know, sometimes we can kind of overthink things, you know. We just kind of overthink things. We want to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, I think that, you know, I've been guilty of that. I had this friend. Her name's Hillary. And my last name was Goins before I married my husband. And she would always say about my family, not just me, but my brothers and my sister as well, she would say, you Goins is always overdoing stuff. You always overdo it, you know. And she just came up whenever she would say, ODG, overdo it Goins. ODG, overdo it Goins. You're overdoing it again, you know. Instead of being, you know, and then she's like, keep it simple, you know. So I was like, you know, let me adapt the KIS instead of the ODG, you know. But she would always say that to me. I mean, she'll say it to me now. But, you know, she thinks I'm overdoing it now with the church stuff. You know, you're overdoing it, ODG, you know. But, you know, she didn't reinvent the wheel. She just used what she had. She was resourceful. You know, and, you know, I want to be like that. I want to imitate that. You know, I know people like that. And I want them to teach me that. Let's look at 1 Samuel 25:19. And she said, 1 Samuel 25:19. Then she told her servant, go ahead, I'll follow you. But she didn't tell her husband, Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, there David and his men descended toward her, and she met them. David had just said, it's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off of her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, my Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Let your servant speak to you. Hear what I have to say. You know, she could have been afraid. She could have pulled back. She could have given way to fear at this point. She could have just sent her people ahead of her like she did, hoping that the food would just kind of, you know, take care of the situation and that everything was going to be okay. But she was fearless. She was amazing. There were 400 men. 400 men. And her servant had gone ahead of her and in hopes that the food and everything that they had was going to kind of help to subside the situation. But, you know, this is a solution-oriented woman that we're talking about. She had a solution. She wasn't part of the problem. Y'all love her. And the part that really, really got me, she said, she talked about how she's like, let it fall on me. My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. I mean, she didn't throw Nabal under the bus immediately. You know, she... I mean, that wasn't her first inclination. You know, we'll see, maybe it was her second one. But she didn't throw him under the bus immediately. She's like, let it be on me. She was solution-oriented. And, you know, she went with them. Again, you know, fearless. You know, she came a little behind, but she was just pacing herself. And, you know, she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing. She is setting up a situation. 1 Samuel 25, 26. Okay. 1 Samuel 25, 25 says, okay, may my Lord pay no attention to the wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. Okay, second inclination, she threw him on the bus, okay. His name is fool and folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men your master sent. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. Let this gift which your servant has brought to you, my master, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundles of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies, he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. She was fierce. I love her. She didn't know what his response was going to be. She didn't know how he was going to act. She didn't know what he was going to say. She didn't know if he was going to cut her head off. But she knew about his God. She knew that he was the boy that would be king. She had heard about that, you know, because she spoke to him about God. She spoke to him about God, and she reasoned with him. And she knew that if it was only just through his reputation, she knew about him. And she softened whatever blow might be, whatever blow there may be by sending an offer of a peace prior to, you know, like it talks about in Luke 14:32. It took tons of humility to think this way. She had counted the cost. She had counted the cost. She knew that she may not come back with her life, but she did it anyway. Then she bring her case to him with prudence. You know, prudence isn't something we talk about a lot. And it can be very easily overlooked. But it could never be overrated. And it'll serve you well. If you learn or you study out prudence, it's an amazing thing. You know, I'm reading a book now. by Jeannie Shaw, and I don't know, some of you may know who Jeannie Shaw is, some of you may not, but Jeannie Shaw, and what she says about prudence is, she says, prudence puts wisdom into practical application. Prudence puts wisdom into practical application, and I love that. You know, and so she spoke to him in a manner that he could receive what she was saying. And we have to learn how to do that. It's important. Because sometimes you can talk to people, but they can't hear you. You know, it's because of, a lot of times it's because of how you're saying it. And, you know, people don't, you know, we need to tell people what we need to say. But, you know, you can't just go talking to people just all crazy and saying things to them just any kind of way. You have to have some prudence, some tact. You know, you don't want you to be fearless, but you can't be crazy with it either. You know, you got to, you know, treat people like you want to be treated. You know, and me, you know, I'm one of those people, you know, you keep hitting me between the eyes, you know. I need the 2x4 sometime, but I want to feel loved after you do it. I want to know you love me. I need that, you know. So, you know, again, you know, just take people back to the scriptures. It's important. And let me see how I'm doing on time. Okay. And you know how I knew she knew his reputation, and I thought this was kind of, you know, she was clever. I love this girl. She was clever. Because did you catch at the part at the end when she talked about... But the lies of your enemies, he will hurl away like the pocket, from a pocket of a sling. You know, she knew who David was. You know, and I'm sure when David heard her say that, you know, he probably kind of smiled on the inside. He's like, "Oh, you know me. You know, you know who I am. You know, I know a little bit about slings." You know, So, you know, she kind of threw that in there. You know, I thought that, you know, she might probably, you know, kind of, yeah, softened him up with that. I think that that's when he kind of dropped his defenses. And we know that, you know, because what it says in 1 Samuel 25:30. Let's read that. When the Lord had done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him, and his and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burdens of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has bought my master's success, remember your servant. You know, you think about this woman, she's there, she's in front of, you know, she's there, she's bowed down. She's in front of 400 men. She's talking to him. And that's what she's saying to him. And then, you know, when's the last time you somewhere 400 men and talking to their leader the way that she's talking to David? I mean, just, you know, picture that. You know, could you do that? I don't even think I would have ever even had the guts to go and do what she did. She, you know, and I sometimes like to think of myself as pure, you know, pretty fearless, but I don't have anything on this girl right here. I mean, she's just amazing. David said to Abigail, in verse 25:32, and David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." Then David accepted from her hand what she had bought him and said, "Go in peace. I have heard your words and granted your requests." When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing until daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like stone. Marissa Bell, could you come here for a second? I need your scarf. Okay. So, So, this is the thing. She was able to say that to David because it says she had bowed down before him. She had bowed down before him. She had bowed her head before him. And she handed him what was in her hand. She gave it to him. And this is how she was, you know? This is how you give people stuff that you want them to take from you. You know? So this part is discipling. This is discipling. This is discipling. This is how we want to do discipling sometimes. You know, man, if I ever threw anything to my mom, she would have killed me. You know, she said, you give it to me. You don't throw stuff in here. You know? This is how you give it. Okay? And that's up in verse 25, 30. He accepted from her hand what she had bought to him. And in 25, 37 says the next morning, she didn't tell him nothing. She didn't tell her husband nothing till the next morning. You know, she did not try to point out all his shortcomings the night before while he was drunk and out of his mind. You know, she waited until the appropriate time so he could hear her. She was prudent. She knew he was a mess. She knew he was a mess. And guess what? He knew he was a mess, too. He knew it. You know? And, you know, so, you know, timing is everything. And time is up. Wasn't that perfect? I couldn't have planned it any better. You know, and so timing was everything. So, you know, some people say choose your battles. I say fight your battles, but you got to know how to fight your battles. Some battles are better fought on your knees, you know? You know, you fight your battles, you know, just know that you need to use the scripture. You need to bring it all back to the Bible. You need to direct people to God, you know, because people really, really, really aren't that interested in your opinion. You know, they might ask for your advice every now and then, but and neither is God. You know, we have the Bible for a reason. We have the scriptures for a reason. You know, so back to the scriptures. 1 Samuel 25:38. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord who has upheld my case against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his head." Then David sent word to Abigail asking her to become his wife. His servant went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "Here is your maidservant ready to serve you and wash the feet of my master's servants." Abigail quickly, there she goes again, woman of action. She is a woman of action. Abigail quickly got on her donkey and attended by her five maids, went with David's messengers and became his wife. Amen. You know, What an incredible ending, you know. But if she had given way to fear, the story would have ended totally different. If she had given way to fear, a lot of people would have died that day. A lot of people would have died that day. If she had given way to fear, you know, who knows what would have happened in history? Who knows how that would have turned out? You know, and so, sisters, what, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this, you know, not giving way to fear. And I'm out of time, so I can't read them all. But, you know, I'll give you some that I'd like for you to write down, okay? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Isaiah 41, 10. John 14, 7. Psalms 55, 22. Psalms 120, verse 1. And this is the one I'll leave you with, because this is the one that we know, that we've heard. And it says in 1 Peter 3, 6, and it says, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him master, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Thank you so much, guys.